Welcome to another opportunity to study the Word of God with us today. We'll look at the Word in just a moment, but if you are able to do so, you will want to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, for we are studying together what is commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, and we are looking at the 6th chapter, in which are discussed a number of righteous acts. And one of the righteous acts at which we began to look in our last study was prayer. That is, we have the privilege of prayer, and prayer should be carried on in certain ways. And we discovered several things which the Lord Jesus Christ said about that, and then he began with what is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. We would rather refer to it as the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer, of course, is found in the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to John, where the Lord Jesus Christ prayed directly to the Father. This prayer, which we refer to quite often as the Lord's Prayer, actually was a prayer which the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples. When it is recorded in the Gospel of Luke, "Lord, teach us to pray, even as John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray." We're going to look at that prayer in just a moment. But before we do, let us look to the Lord in prayer, asking him to help us in our understanding of the study of the Word today. Thank you, dear Lord, once again for this privilege which is ours, of coming to you in the name of Jesus, and knowing that thou art listening to us as we pray. It's so important for us, Father, to learn to communicate with thee, that we do ask thee, as we look at this portion of the Word, one of many, which deals with prayer, we will be able to understand it. We ask too, dear Lord, that thou wilt meet our needs today. As thou dost look upon us, thou dost know exactly what we need, and we pray that thou wilt meet our individual needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. For we pray in his name. Amen. Notice with me, if you will, please, in the 9th verse of the 6th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Time will not permit us to examine this prayer in this study from a number of different standpoints. For example, is this the kind of prayer that should be prayed by everyone? Is this prayer to be prayed in public? A number of questions that would naturally arise in your mind. Though we do not have time to discuss them in our present study, we have given that information concerning the so-called Lord's Prayer, along with other information, in our outline studies in the Gospel of Matthew. The outline studies are available free of charge to anyone who wishes to have them. If you have requested them, you are on a regular mailing list, and they are mailed out to you approximately once a month. But if you're not on the list, you would not get them. So if you want to have them, feel free to write and ask. Simply say, "Send me the Matthew outlines." I mention that from time to time, and I mention it today because, as I say, we're not going to have time to give you some information that we would ordinarily give if we had time for a lengthy discussion. But there is, in the outline studies, this additional information that I think would be good for all of us to have. I do want to look at this passage of Scripture, however, and notice some practical applications for all of us in our prayer life. The lessons we can learn from it are lessons that are related to the subject of prayer as far as believers are concerned. You'll notice it begins with the words, "Our Father." And we are told in John 1:12, "As many as receive the Lord Jesus Christ, to them gives he the right to become the children of God," or to be called the children of God. He gives them the right or the authority, the power to be called the children of God. In spite of what you hear about the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, the Bible very plainly states that only individuals who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior have a right to call God Father. We must recognize, then, if you want to pray and get in touch with God, you need to be born from above. You need to have a second birth. You need to be converted. Now, after recognizing the grounds on which we are able to approach God, approaching God on the right basis, that is, the basis of your relationship to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, as we glance at this prayer, we realize that prayer should begin with worship. What is the first thing we read in the prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I would suggest to you today that you examine your prayer life in the light of this model prayer. How much of your prayer life actually begins with worship? I sometimes think our prayers are so much like the lives of our children. Sometimes our children will come to us and say, "Daddy, I love you," and never ask for anything at all. Just simply say, "I love you." Sometimes they'll say, "Daddy, I love you. Could you lend me some money?" But you know, we don't even treat God that way. We say, "God, give me." No worship, no acknowledgement of the holiness of God, no ascription of glory to Him, simply our requests. Let us learn, when we come into the presence of God, to worship Him. Well, as we continue thinking about this model prayer, we would emphasize to you that prayer should have the quality of surrender related to it. You will notice that this was not only a request found in this prayer, it indicated a surrendered heart. Thy will be done as it is in heaven. I say, this was not simply a request in a general fashion, "Lord, let your will be done on earth." But it did involve, it must involve, real surrender. It is true faith indeed when you come to the Father and say, "Thy will be done." There is a movement abroad in our land today that frightens me. I see it on television. I hear it in various places. There's not much talk about the will of God. The talk and the emphasis seems to be in commanding God to do whatever the individual wants Him to do, instead of saying, "Thy will be done." I am afraid that we may be slipping into an attitude toward God which leads us to believe that the only reason God is on His throne is to give us what we want. We forget that He is God of very gods, and we must recognize, since He is God, sovereign, His will should be uppermost in our minds. When we pray, as we look again at this model prayer, there ought to be the attitude of peace in our hearts. Notice the request, "Give us this day our daily bread." I don't know that many of us are ever in a situation where we do not know where the next meal is coming from. Oh, I know that some are, but I'm speaking generally. I don't suppose too many people are in that situation. But if there are such trying situations, and there will be from time to time, there ought to be such peace reigning in our hearts that when we make request, we don't worry about the answer. Give us day by day our daily bread. And I like that a little better than the request, "Give us this day." Give us day by day our daily bread, whatever we need, really. The attitude should be that which was expressed by the Apostle Paul when he said, "Let your requests be known unto God," and with thanksgiving, worrying about nothing, "the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." My friend, If you pray, and after you are through praying, you worry, you have not permitted the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of peace in your life, which He longs to produce. Look at another phrase in the prayer. Lead us not into temptation. In the light of what I have said to you at other times, this statement might read, don't abandon us to evil. It suggests that when we pray, we should acknowledge our dependence upon God. Whether we say the words, whether we express the statement, the attitude ought to be there. When I pray, I ought to recognize that I'm weak. I ought to recognize that I'm capable of miserable failure. And I need to say, Lord, don't abandon me. Oh God, if you abandon me, there's no hope for me. Some folk feel that they can get along without God, and sometimes they feel like maybe they're even an asset to God in the sense that God needs them. But such is not the case. We need Him. We pray, give us this day our daily bread. We pray, don't abandon us to evil. Don't let us alone. The evil one is so very, very powerful. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Time is gone once again, and we must leave you now. Do remember to pray for us, and remember that we are here to help you. So you write us your cards, your letters, and let us know what we can pray about, what Bible question we can answer, and we'll be glad to do all that we can. May God bless each of you richly today.